Hey guys, Vicky McLeod here. This time, John and I discuss 24.3. He takes on the role of Uncle John and answers a couple of your coaching questions, and things are getting pretty real with the crown. Let's get to it. Good afternoon. It's actually Spanish Father's Day today. It's the 19th of March and it's the afternoon. It's a Tuesday and we are right on target, John Singleton. How are you doing?
I'm very well. Happy to be on time and on target.
I'm amazed. It's all down to you, really, because I'm a hot mess at the moment.
Our consistency is riding above all else.
Thank you so much for keeping me on target. You're a great coach. Where should we begin? Let's talk about 24.3. It is over. It is done. The open is complete. What did you think?
I think it was a solid open. I think the biggest improvement is it was easy for gyms and affiliates to do. And that was like a huge box ticked. So you kind of tick that box and, you know, check it off and move on to the next part of the season.
And we had some rather good results in the program squad as well. Very happy about Luca's position.
Yeah, he smashed it. His nickname is The Smile, so those for Luca Vunjak. So he's sitting in fourth and, you know, he's just a really nice guy. He's been on the fringe for a few years. And hopefully, you know, the hope is we kind of continue building this conversation on Luca. He's someone who came on board at the start of last year, been working with Chris. Hopefully we can get him over the edge. You know, we've taken a lot of athletes from that semi-level to games level, and hopefully Luca can continue that story.
That seems to be your speciality, actually, is getting those athletes just into that next level. That seems a big push.
It's true, like being really proud of that. You know, we've taken over 30 athletes, 20 of those individual athletes to the CrossFit Games. And there are very few training programs that have those kind of numbers. So that's something I'm really proud of over the years, that we've managed to do it with such a mix of athletes individually and then across the space. So yeah, it's definitely something that, you know, we're very proud of in the program.
I guess it's different for each athlete, but is there anything that you would say it runs through all of those people's stories? Like, is what's one thing, if you were telling a bubble athlete one thing, what would you say to them?
I think you need to believe, you know, there's that fundamental component that you need to believe in yourself and the process to go there. You know, we know that we can help athletes achieve that goal. The big thing is the athlete believing that they can achieve it as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so that means that we are done with the open. Quarterfinals are next, and we will be talking a lot about them coming up. But this week, we decided to start something new. We are going to do...
I feel like we need one of those drum rolls that we can insert or something.
It is Ask John or Ask Uncle John. I couldn't decide which one it should be.
I actually have like four nieces and nephews, which accumulate quite quickly. So I am an uncle. You know, we were talking a little bit, and I think one thing we want to do is make this a bit informative. And so I think it's a great place for people to be able to ask questions, and we can answer those, you know, training related questions, coaching related questions, things you want to know, how we work. And it's just a little bit, it gives, I think, people a chance to look under the cover of what we're doing a little bit and ask away, really.
We asked these questions on Instagram and we decided we pick two so that we'd start off with a couple and see how we go. The first one is from a fascinating Instagram name, Fancy_Pickle.
It's a good name.
I'd like to see his gherkin. So, and Fancy Pickle asks, is zone two necessary for all athletes? My weakness is strength.
So there's a little bit of background to this question as well. So you have to put a bit of context to it. I've done quite a long talk on this with WOD Science. Firstly, I think it's very hard to define, you know, it has to be zone two. Often, we're often referring to heart rate zones when you talk about these different zones of training. And these heart rate zones are often derived from your max heart rate doing a specific activity. So when people talk about zone two training, they're just really generalizing into doing something in a certain heart rate zone, but oftentimes they've not been very specific in identifying that. And it's usually for a monostructural activity. So people kind of base their max heart rate, and there's lots of these calculations, and you drop below that max heart rate in order to do this zone two training. And typically it's like a conversational piece. And I think in answer to the specific question, is zone two training necessary? No. However, is conditioning work necessary for CrossFit? Like 100% yes. So there's a little bit of defining what you're meaning when you're asking this question. And I don't think that heart rate zones, especially in this kind of categorization from 1 to 5, or however you want to categorize it, are useful at all, mainly because the activities that we're doing are so varied. Your heart rates, you know, might jump around on. If you're doing barbell cycling and burpee box jump overs, you know, your heart rate's going to be vastly different to if you did whatever chest bar pull-ups and burpee box jump overs. And so for sports where there's even a big debate about how useful heart rate zones are in these very monostructural sports, running, cycling, swimming, etc., there's a lot more other metrics that we can use to gauge an athlete's effort. And for CrossFit, I just don't think, because of the variance that we have, that it becomes very useful. And there are, I think people are a lot better off using what we talked about before, but this rate of perceived exertion as a chart to be able to manage intensity. So obviously you're not going like RP10 max rate all the time. Sometimes you might want an athlete to go RP4, RP5 to have a longer relaxed session through. And I think that's a lot better metric for CrossFit athletes than going into specific heart rate zones.
So if you've got the choice between doing zone 2 and working on what you perceive as your strength, your weakness, then you should be working on your weakness.
A little, just a pen, like conditioning work is very important, but specific zone 2 work is really where it gets a bit more, you know, contested. And we'd argue you don't need this specific zone 2 work, you need kind of to build your conditioning base, which we do in a different way rather than using these heart rate zones. Like these heart rate zones, just a specific way of doing your conditioning. So you might do, you know, something in zone 5 would be very hard, something in zone 1. So it's a different way of basing and categorizing your conditioning effort. And I don't think that for CrossFit heart rate's the best way to do it.
I think zone 2 has become also like a shorthand way of saying doing something that's not too difficult, but goes on for a while. You know, it's actually become a bit of a shorthand for that.
Yeah, it has. And the theory's solid for improving someone's conditioning. They do a lot of this base building at lower heart rates. So there is the evidence there that this can improve things. The tricky thing is extrapolating that data and putting it into CrossFit is a little bit of where you get this mismatch happening. So you can do this base building work in different ways. And I don't think the heart rate zones are necessarily the best way to do that.
Well, fancy pickle. I hope that answers your question. And then the other question, we'll see if we get any pickle follow-ups on that one.
Yeah, because he specifically asked about coming stronger as well.
Yeah,
no?
So my weakness is strength, he said, or she.
His weakness is strength, yes. And so you could argue, so that in regards to that specific question as well, basing those two, you know, ultimately, if you want to become the strongest you can possibly be, then you just need to do strength. There's no question in that. If your goal is, you know, and you can get these concurrent training, so you can link to a certain point strength and conditioning, both of those metrics will track upwards to a certain degree. However, after a point when you've reached a certain proficiency level, the conditioning training just takes away from your upper limits of strength gain. However, if the question is, does he want to get better at CrossFit, then the importance is you need to be well conditioned and have the strength, even if it's your weakness. And therefore, doing the two types of training together is probably going to get you the best results for your CrossFit career. But if you just want to get strong, then no, you don't necessarily need it.
If Fancy Picker was choosing a program to do, which one would you suggest?
The program strong. We have to program power, the program strong are definitely those two focus on that. And that is the specific athlete, you know, a CrossFit athlete who wants to get stronger or become more powerful, which is an important aspect of CrossFit, but not lose all of those other aspects that you need.
Okie doke. And the other question that we've picked out of the hat is from various_vertical. And they ask for tips for a better front rack position, mobility issues, maybe.
So front rack position it's just become so specific. And, you know, you probably never knew you had a bad front rack position until you tried CrossFit. It can become very important in CrossFit. You know, the obvious one is the front squat. But we then see, you know, for doing Olympic lifting with the cleans, or just like we had in 24.3 with the thrusters, if you don't have a good front rack position, it makes racking the bar, especially at a lighter weight, very hard. And because it's so specific, I think it's really important drill on the program YouTube that we do, where we use some lifting straps that anchor your wrists in, and that can allow you to get into a really good front rack position. And then spending time under tension in that, build up slowly. You know, you might do 3 sets of 15 to 20 seconds in that position using the straps to anchor you in, and then gradually you can build up. because it's such a specific movement, you know, it might be your wrists, it might be your shoulders, it might be your elbows, but actually your ultimate goal is working towards getting a better front rack. So mobilizing in that position is really useful.
Hey, sorry to interrupt this, but it would be very much appreciated if you'd give our show a 5-star review wherever you get your podcasts and even share it with your friends. Thanks so much. Back to the chat.
So we're talking at looking at the program YouTube for some tips and also a bit of GoWad.
Yep, GoWad can be really useful for that general mobility as well. They have specific front rack protocols. So yeah, either you search front rack on the program YouTube and I think the video will come up probably, or you know, 100% for day-to-day use and having a bit more variance, GoWad is very useful for that.
Have we got any specific articles on the website about front rack position?
I believe we do. I believe you can search on theprogram.com/blog, search for front rack, and you'll find the articles there.
Okay, so this is an easily answered question then. Go and look it up on the program website.
But you know, we're now here to provide this service.
Yes, that's true. So it's a good way of directing people to have a look at the website though. There's lots and lots of information there. And also, it's hard to imagine on an audio podcast when you're watching somebody doing mobility, they can't really see what you're doing. So it's important that they can see the videos as well. Okay, so that is the two questions this week. If you wanted to ask us or ask John for some coaching tips or some clarification about something, you can email us at media@theprogram.com, or you can, if you're using Spotify, you can actually leave a comment on this podcast and we will see it, or you can send us an Instagram message. Whichever you want to do, do that. We'll probably put up another story to ask for more questions as well, just as
yeah, and we'll keep working through them week by week. And so anything you would like to know that you feel we can help with, we are at your service.
Jolly D. Let's talk now about the imminent incoming of very fit teenagers onto the island and how we are managing that, because the crown is coming in hot now. It's not very far away. Everybody is preparing themselves. The media team is getting ready. There's a lot of WhatsApp messages flying around now as well. And I know, John, that you have been working really hard on getting this, your competition vision, into good shape for next week.
Yes, it's always weird when you say next week.
Yeah.
Because like we've been planning this for since last year, really. So you've had this whole year thinking about this competition and everything. It's always been in the future, you know. There's never been a next week until now. Now we have the next week. Athletes are arriving. Some arrive a few days early, but the competition will start on Wednesday. So we've got some really fun stuff planned, especially at the start of the competition. We're actually doing a little tester of that tomorrow to make sure we can be as planned as possible. And yeah, we get to watch some next generation of athletes throw down, and they're pretty beast mode. So it's going to be exciting to see.
The guys are coming from all over the place, just like last year. I guess they think they know what to expect, I guess. They probably watched the videos and the YouTube and things, but you know, they should be prepared for the unexpected as well, shouldn't they?
Yeah, they'll get an idea. You know, we're in the same location, so have a bit more of a visual idea. And I'm sure all of them have seen stuff we put out and documentaries. But in classic, true CrossFit style, things we're excited to try out and put together and present them with.
I do feel like you're channeling a little bit of your inner Castro with this one.
I think there is a bit of this. You know, I think sometimes, like, a big part of my life when growing up was martial arts. And I like to pay homage to that and what that brought me. And then another part, you know, Castro always programmed, and those effects have been a big part of my CrossFit life. And so this unknown and varied and more military style of training has been a big part of what we've done over the last, you know, over 2008, 2009, whenever it was. So, you know, the best part of 15 years going through it. So it does have an effect. And I think that's the way that CrossFit has, that is CrossFit, this unknown and unknowable, for better and for worse, both of those aspects. You know, we've had many discussions about what we would like to see in the sport and how we think it can grow. We've brought people on to discuss those things. And I think that in order for the sport to get better, there are things that need to be improved. But there is this kind of like homage to the old days of, you know, CrossFit throwing down in a backyard and having that unexpected element. And this is actually, you know, the Crown plays more into that than it does where we think the sports should go.
Mm. What year was it that Castro put all the athletes on a bus and drove them off into the middle of the night?
When they took the plane.
Oh, it was a plane.
To the ranch.
Yes. Which year was
that? Yeah, 2016. So in 2016, you know, it was pretty, it was classic cross style. Like in the dinner, no one knew, had any idea. All the athletes come back from their athlete dinner and like, fuck, you know, we've got to meet in the lobby at 2 a.m., whatever it is. So this is already like 7 o'clock at night. We will go back 2 a.m. We're down in the lobby, still don't know what's happening. The athletes are just told to bring their passports. For those who don't know, like the coaches are very excluded through most parts of the CrossFit game. So we're just there to assist the athletes in what we can. But, you know, we basically took them down to the lobby and that was it. You know, told not to follow because they'll be flying somewhere. So they get onto the airport, get into the plane, go to the ranch, come back. And they hadn't booked, like they hadn't chartered a flight. So they all flew just commercial. And there were loads of delays at that time. So athletes started at 2 a.m. Then they didn't get back until around midnight. You know, it was like crazy long day. They competed all day. And the next day, they had to do a swim event in the morning. Because of the tides, and I presume because of licensing, just getting permissions to use the beach, had to be there at like 7 a.m. So those first 2 days were pretty brutal. I mean, people were just tired from, you know, just, I mean, even just following that, not even having to do the workouts is pretty extreme. So these kind of things in CrossFit, I think, you know, they're part of the history and part of the sport. And I think it's exciting for the next generation to be able to experience some of that. But I think for the, you know, the sport to grow, it needs a bigger structure and more organization rather than this kind of like, you know, rock up and see what happens.
So we can hope that some of the participants of the Crown are listening to us this week, maybe hoping to get some little hints. I mean, if in a Castro style way, is there anything that you will be hinting or giving them any tips or thoughts about what they're going to get?
I think that actually the tip that we are paying tribute to what has come before is a good tip.
I know what you're doing, so I'm just sniggering quite quietly behind my It's going to be really exciting. I'm excited to see how they respond as well to what you're going to challenge them to do. It's not like any other kind of CrossFit competition out there, because it's not really about who wins so much in the end, is it? It's about the whole experience and how the group work.
100% it's about the experience. And we've moved away from calling it a competition a bit into just an experience, because we're not going to try and perform this completely balanced test. We're going to give the athletes an experience. We're going to do some cool stuff. And that's what I mean. It's a little bit more about how, you know, the good old days of CrossFit. So they'll get to throw down, they get to experience. Obviously, there's going to be variants, but we're not looking to find, you know, the fittest team, basically.
It's a bit like a bonkers summer camp.
Yeah, it's just cool. You know, like these guys are already, they've shown that they're some of the best in the sport. So like, how do you give them a good experience to celebrate that?
Mm. Tell me a bit about the organisation, because you mentioned before we started recording that it's actually pretty tough to get everything to the island.
Yeah, so Mallorca is a relatively small island off Barcelona. And it's a part of Spain, which is really helpful in, you know, a lot of things. The trouble is it doesn't, when a container arrives to the port in Barcelona or wherever the port is, you don't have to pay for the freight to be lifted off onto the boat, because you can't drive in with that size truck. Then when you get to Mallorca as well, you have to pay for the freight then to go onto another truck and et cetera, et cetera. And it just adds thousands onto the shipping cost. To give you an idea, one of the troubles for the comp when we were trying to run that is we got sent by the equipment company that was supposed to be on board. They wanted like 20,000 euros just for shipping and installation costs, to give like a bit of an idea of, you know, and that's, you're not even left with a barbell after them. So, which it doesn't make running competitions viable. There's a large part of this, and, you know, with flooring, with the rack, with everything that you need for a CrossFit competition. And because of this variance, you know, you can't just go like, okay, I'm going to buy this and it's going to be the same every year. This lack of standardization makes it more expensive.
Mm. I was in Barcelona last weekend, gig. My friend works for a big band there, and we watched 16 trucks like massive trucks getting loaded up, and the cost of moving anything like that around, like transport is just incredibly expensive.
Yeah, I mean, these guys, I mean, just look how much like Formula One and these big production companies who travel around. I mean, the Formula One's a bit excessive, but even the smaller production companies probably spending hundreds of thousands of euros a year just on moving stuff.
Yeah, you know? Absolutely. Okay, the team is forming, the staff team around it, all on board. You've got a couple of people coming over. Where's Patrick coming from?
So Patrick's in the Netherlands. Who's coming over? Someone. So we've got two. Most of the media we have are what we call like our in-house program media, and then we have Alessandro coming from Italy, who's a friend of Rumsey, and then Patrick, who's a photographer in the Netherlands. The two kind of additional media that we brought in to support the rest of the team.
That's good. We will need them. And then the like equipment team. And you had a gang of people before, and I guess we have the same team again.
Yeah, so we have our really, it can, like in terms of support, it can be divided into two areas. We have media and then what we've termed staff.
Yeah.
And our staff have a hybrid role because we're a small competition. You know, we've only got 12 athletes, so we don't need athlete team, a judging team, an equipment team, a volunteer team, which is what you need in a big competition. We can just have one team, which is called staff, and our staff help with equipment, help with judging, help with the athletes, whatever it may be. And it's just, I think it's a nicer role. We just chose the term staff. There's no real reason in that, but it's like an all-encompassing role that these people will, athletes, for staff, for media, because I mean it's just a nice experience for everyone then.
Well, it's a week tomorrow. Does that give you a little adrenaline rush?
It's a sigh of like, oof, you know.
From what I know of the schedule, I just think all of the participants should probably get their beauty split sleep in early.
Yeah, I like the early mornings.
You do?
Well, I, you know, I don't actually. I like my sleep, but I like the beauty of the early mornings.
Yeah, we've had some pretty good, very good, very early morning stuff happen in the past. So I'm expecting some more spectacular things to happen this time. Beautiful background. Yeah. Just fingers crossed for good weather. Okay, that's it for this week. It is a wrap up from me and you. I guess I'll see you. I will actually see you next week in the flesh. It'll be the first time in a while.
Yes.
But before that, we'll do another episode on Tuesday.
I'll see you Tuesday.
Yeah, no late night Thursday night this week.
No, we get to save our energy for the crown.
Yeah, thank you, John. And don't forget, guys, if you want to send John a message, a question about anything about your training, send us an email to media@theprogram.com or a DM on Instagram. Or if you're using Spotify, you can leave us a comment. Until next time.
So the crown will start in less than a week. I wish everyone a lot of luck. And participants, just expect the unexpected. Thank you, John. And thank you for listening. If you've enjoyed this episode, please go and give the show a 5-star review wherever you get your podcasts. It all helps the show to grow. Until next time, thanks for listening and bye-bye.